Well, welcome. Nice to see you tonight. And if you're a guest, thanks for coming. We appreciate you being here. And so what we're going to do is a little different tonight. I know many of you, this may be your first time to attend our business meeting. It's an annual business meeting based on our budget. And if you've been to a Next Steps meeting, you probably understand the process, or if you're involved in ministry, of how we do our budgeting and our finance. And so it's a really pretty simple process. We annually take the stakeholders and ministries up and down the ladder. They develop a budget, submit it to the pastoral head. The pastoral team gives it to the board of directors. The board of directors says you can or cannot have that kind of money. So now we try to fit it into our obviously our allotted budget that we can, that God provides through the regular offerings. And so if we do have to make cuts, then we go back, of course, down through the chain and try to trim where we can to get everything in. So that's basically the process that we've had for the last 15 years, and it's worked real well. And so normally our treasurer would present this tonight. Our members of the board, our treasurer is Gwen Arney, and we have Bob Bolkin as the secretary. I'm the chair of the board, of course, as the pastor. And then Luke Fleshman serves as a board member, and Jim Boyette, wherever Jim Boyette went. There he is. Jim Boyette serves as a board member. I was looking for your face. And so I do know you, Jim. And so because I'd ask that you pray for Gwen. Obviously, he's in chemo treatments. That's why he couldn't be here. He's really focused on getting here tonight. And he wasn't able to be here. So I've asked Jim to step in, and Jim has been gracious enough to say he'd step in and take the financial update for tonight. So without any ado, Jim, I'll just turn it over to you, and you can work through the paperwork. We got some handouts here, and so we'll just hand out the financial statements. Sure. Yeah, I
gotcha.
Whoa. Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Well, let me have one just to make sure I got the same thing.
Huh?
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I have the same thing. You know, you hand out stuff and you never know if you got the same or not, right? All right. Well, as Brian said, I volunteered to step up and take the bullet for this. I really have appreciated Gwen and over the years, and Tracy too, that did this. But hopefully I can explain it well enough to where you can understand it. If you can't, ask questions. And that's why Kathy's here and Brian's here to help me out. They understand this a lot better than I do. Why God had allowed me to sit on the board and be a part of this, I have no idea. Other than he thinks I need to learn some stuff. So with that, if you would, the first page there that says HBF historical financial status or statistics, I guess, which is kind of interesting if you look from 2010 to 2016, kind of where our budget has been. If you'll notice, it says two things: total giving, total missions, and budgets are the three things there. And the total or the budget is what the board decides this is what we're going to need to make it through the year, what it's going to cost us to run. For pretty much most, I don't know of a year that we have not met that and lived within our means. We haven't necessarily gone over that. God has blessed us well enough. And you can see that the top, it says total giving. That exceeds and goes above and beyond our budget. I've always sat in these meetings and listened to what that includes, and it's kind of interesting when you sit down and see what all that includes. That actually does include what this church and what says their total missions, the middle one, and it's something that since I've been here, and Brian has always done, which I think is really kind of exciting about what he talked about this morning. As a church, we tithe to our missionaries, which used to be 10%. Now it's 11% what we tithe through to the missions, which if 10% would be 10% of the $449,000, which would be about $45,000 per year. And as you can see within that we give more to our missionaries than 10%, which I think is really pretty cool. And one thing that I've always seen in other churches, they will have 20, 30 missionaries, and they'll support them with 20 or 30 bucks a month, right? And divide that up. But I know from Brian's experience and my experience, we can support 6 or 7 missionaries, supported missionaries, a lot better with $300, $400 a month, and they don't have to do a lot of searching to get support, which is really kind of nice. And we get to be a little bit more personal with their ministry. And that's where that total missions is at, the $108,000. That includes some designated stuff for missionaries that goes above and beyond our 11%. So I like what Brian was preaching this morning. We're a giving church. We give to these missionaries. We try to love on them and take care of them. That total giving at the top of that list includes the monies that's given for camps, for trips, retreats, vision conference, Bible conference, benevolence, a bunch of other stuff is included in that. And one of the reasons, I mean, that's the main reason that's a bigger number than our regular budgeted number. One thing that, I guess because of the government, we have to record every penny that comes in the door and goes through the offering and where it goes to and what it does. So we have to give an account for that. They want to know, right? And that kind of what that happens. So, well, no, we don't report it, but we have to maybe have to give an account. You account for it. Right. Right. So that you could go to Kathy and say, Kathy, I want to know, well, who do we give what to and this stuff. She could probably tell you. I'll let you know. Sarah? Right. Right. Yeah. So, and that also includes the, what I want to call it, salaries and things like that, the 449, right? Includes the salaries. So, in that salary, that's 4 full-time employees, but only 3 full-time salaries. So, we kind of stretch out 4 people and pay one not necessarily full-time. And then there's 3 part-time employees that are earning under 20 to 15 hours a week. I know a lot of you know Pat Shell that's worked here for quite a few years. And Pat has stepped back. She's having some physical issues and things, but she comes in at least for an hour and a half a week, and does some work on the members and some of that stuff for us. So does anybody have any questions about that any further? Does that make sense? I always have a struggle with it, so I want to make sure that you get it. You have kind of a breakdown on the next page, hopefully. Is it, say, 2016 monthly contributions? Is that the next page? Missionary designated. Well. Oh, okay. So you can look at the missionary designated. And you can see at the bottom the $57,000 for the year and what we give to the missionaries and how we, you would have to ask Randy as far as the supported missionaries, which ones we support, how much we support them. If you want to know that, you can talk to Randy. He'll be glad to share that with you. But we do have, what, 6, 7? 9? And? Does everybody know what the difference between the supported and approved is? Supported, it means what Rain says, we give them, well, if you want to.
Well, an approved, all missionaries are approved, but we categorize them in.
Because sometimes if nobody's supporting a missionary, we don't, I mean, we approve them, but they're not, they don't become a supported missionary. And I said, I guess it's a way of looking at how God's moving the body to support somebody, when whether or not we should. So you can kind of see what it is month to month there, January all the way through to December. That's what last year's listing was. So, and you see different months are a little bit more than others, but that's what God has given us. So what's your next page? I got mine out of order, so. Monthly contributions to 2016?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see the month by month, the total contributions and the regular giving. The regular giving is what we operate off of month by month and what it takes to survive. Basically pay the light bill, pay the electric bill, pay the phone bill, water bill, whatever we need to do. One of the blessings I know when we first moved in here, that when I was over the facilities, Osage Valley took us off of business rate, put us on residential rate, which saved us at that time at least about $1,500 a month, wasn't it? Pretty close to that. And which was, it was quite a substantial change. And they did that for all the churches in their area, so it was kind of nice for the churches because it helped them put the monies in other areas. So one of the things you'll notice too in the total contributions in a couple of the categories there, in May and different months there, August, you'll see that it's a little bit higher, or quite a bit higher than the regular giving. Part of that has to do with, like, May was some of the high school camp monies came in for the high school camp, for the kids to go to camp, and then you had August, the Bible conference, men's conference. There was some monies in October for when it's the building fund. Some contributions came for that. The Bible conference was going on at that time, and the India trip. So some of the times when the months are a little higher, it's because of those things coming in and just reporting as what goes on. So that's pretty much it down there at the bottom. You see 13% for missions. We do 2% on top of the 11% for the missions and operating on that. So that gives you a little bit of our totals of, that's how we come up with the totals that were on that was on that first page. So that makes sense to anybody? Anybody question about that? No? What's the next page? Oh, man, the graphs. Oh, man. I'll leave that one down here. And then another thing, too, that with these graphs is kind of helpful. I didn't mention it on that other. The graphs gives you a little more visual. Kathy made up the pretty color so we could see a little bit there. But the first group, again, is the total contributions, and the second group is the regular giving. And one other thing I didn't mention with the total contributions, we also are a church. We also are a clearinghouse, what they call a clearinghouse for some missionaries, like Pradeep. Brian Clark, maybe, Manuel Estebani. What I mean that is other churches may want to help support their ministries, so they bring the monies in through us, and then we distribute it out to those guys like Manuel, Pradeep Lima, and different ones. So that's one of the reasons, like the, I don't know what month that is, the purple one there, which says 88,000, you may see that it's higher, simply because some of those things come through from different churches. For whatever reason, they get on board and they want to be a part of that. So you may see those things from time to time. We may see months that, man, we just have a crazy month for no reason. There has been times in the past, and I've seen it, and Brian's seen it, where somebody just comes in and drops $100,000 in the bucket and walks away, and we don't see him for a while. God does that. You know, it's nothing that anything, but then that goes into our savings, and we put it away so that we can have it on a rainy day. So one of the things that we try to do is make sure that we have the monies to make it through the year. And then is the graph the last one? Yep. The monthly regular recurring liabilities. And again, this chart is pretty much the same thing. It gives you our monthly contributions and what we return on the regular giving and all the totals. So you can kind of see what happens month to month. It goes up and down. And when we're sitting in the board meetings, and Brian's always saying, well, we're just trusting in God to supply all of our needs, and this month has been a little bit low, and you just never know what's going to happen, what God's going to do. So I don't know if that helps you to see that chart. And then the next page, the 2016 monthly recurring liabilities, you can see the different things that we have to pay for each month, what our costs are, the phone bill, Campbell Fire Protection, just going on down through there, the Osage Valley, which is, the one you got? You don't have that? You don't have that one at all? Oh, I got a special page then. Well, in your recurring liabilities, I mean, these are just some things we do have to pay and pay out each month, water bill, electric bill, just things that are going on Well, it's like Osage Valley. It's $2,556.21 per month, or roughly. Sherwood Community Bank. It's on my list here. You guys may not have it on there. That's our house payment. It's $4,500 a month. We were putting $7,000 a month towards that to try to pay it down faster. We've had to pull back a little bit on that because of just financial needs within the church, and offerings have been down a little bit so that we can continue to make that payment. But we are like a year or two ahead on our loan, so that's kind of nice to be out of that or be ahead of that. I don't know if there's anything else you would want. I mean, got Guide One and insurance, $556 a month to pay for our insurance for the building and property and liabilities that we might need. I don't know. I wish they had a copy of this. I don't know how come I got a copy. But. Oh. Okay. Guide One out of Lee Summit, right? Yeah. Or Moyer and Moyer, yeah. So. And that we have compared before to see different ones, and they've been pretty competitive, so we stick with them. You know, you don't think of the little things that we have to pay on. I look at this, and I think Campbell Fire and Protection, you know, that little red box that every once in a while goes off, and you hear the lights are flashing, and the horns are beeping, and everybody's wondering, how do you turn that thing off? And, I mean, that's $129 a month we pay for them to monitor, which we have to have somebody monitor the fire in case something happens, and they'll ring the fire department, send the fire department our way, and the sprinklers will go off and everything else. So, you know, CenturyLink, just taking care of having to have a phone and all the different computer aspects of things, like $300 a month, just little things like that, you know, we have to look at and pay out every month. I know. If you're not here to pay the bills, I know at my house, my wife doesn't always know what bills we have to pay. I've tried to let her know. She doesn't care. She doesn't want to know most of the time. We have, I think a couple of years ago, we checked to get different bids and see what the amounts were. And I know when I can't remember who it was with, we had checked, but they couldn't come close.
Yeah,
who?
Church Mutual.
They couldn't come close to the cost as far as what we get with Moyer and Moyer. They really do give us a good break as far as that goes. So, yeah, every so often we look around and check because we know we got to do that because you just never know who's going to give you a better deal. So, and you know, you don't know how often you use the insurance, but the 1 year we had our HVAC was stripped. The two rooftop units in the back, the big one and the little one, cost us our insurance paid out $25,000 to replace them. I think it cost us $1,000 for our deductible, and so it paid out in the long run. And they did catch the thieves, from what I understand. They caught those guys, and whether that they were our thieves, at that time there was a bunch going around stripping a lot of AC units off of churches and hospital, the old hospital in here in town. They took every unit off the roof of that building overnight, loaded them on a semi. Nobody ever noticed. I can't believe that, but they loaded them on a semi and hauled them off. So just amazing. And they got about $30,000 in cash for that. So, but they went to jail. So just the last one, the Heartland Baptist Fellowship, the financial review. And you can go down through the columns there. You see the administration, what it cost us in 2016 and what we're looking at for 2017. And off to the side, it lists what might be included in that. It includes the salaries for 5 staff members, the pastor, associate pastor, office administration, office assistant, and attendant, clerk, just the different things that go on. Benevolence, we have a expense. We had an expense of 2016 of $7,400, and we budget $4,500, but we ended up paying out $7,500 in for benevolence. So we usually use a 1% of our regular giving to set a figure on what we would be willing to give away. Or somebody comes to the door, Kathy talks to them a lot of times, or Tom, and they say, hey, we're having a rough time with our electric bill, would you help us out? Sometimes it's total strangers. Sometimes you never know, maybe a member, you just never know what's gonna happen. The money's there for the Bible fellowships. And like I'm over the Berean class, the pastor over the Berean class, and I think my budget's $170 for the year. That's just because I choose to keep it down. A lot of us, our Bible fellowships, our budgets are pretty low. I try to function off of benevolence, off of on my members in my class, so that we can do it on our own to help out. Bible Institute, Bible Publishing Ministry, which is just getting started, and some of that where you see it underneath 2017, there's new equipment and some maintenance that's coming around. We're trying to get that up and running. Hopefully, here within the next few months, that'll be going. You got the connections, and it lists there some of the things that it includes. Over on the side, event advertisement, the CDs, Wednesday night dinners, the church in the park, taking to the streets, I go, and the guest bags that you hand out with the Tootsie Rolls every Sunday, Common Grounds, the coffee back here. Those are just to name a few things that come out of that.
Is there an audit on those Tootsie Rolls?
Well, when the mice get into it, it's kind of hard. No. You know, like the church in the park. I mean, from my own personal, when I organized that a little bit, it's pretty expensive sometimes. You would think it is, but if we do a tent, and it's nice to have the tent. I mean, everybody enjoys it. It's kind of an outdoor atmosphere, but the tent can cost us $800 or $900 or $1,000, just depending on what going on. And the prices keep going up. It's not getting any cheaper. $1,500 last year, so. But it is a neat event. It reaches into the community. We invite people throughout the community to come to it. So you can see there, the facility is probably one of the biggest ones, one of the ones I know the most about, too, it seems, in all the things it includes. We had to back down off of we were doing $7,000 a month to pay the house payment, and we went down to $4,500. And just, I don't know, anything else? Anybody have any questions about anything? You can look at your missions giving down there where it says includes a vision conference, Bible conference, and projected 11% and 2%.
I want to know about the family.
Probably cost of camps and some of the other things that have come around. I don't know. Do you know anything, Brian, for the family ministry? I mean, look, it includes all the way from the ceilings up to the senior high school. And
look at the one before.
Right.
Oh, I know. No, I remember. Capital. Oh, yeah. They have some money in there for some TV screens.
But probably is up into the high school side, too. I'm not quite sure. So.
Doing a new curriculum, maybe.
Grounds, is that 5,000 per home?
Grounds? No. Well, maintenance and new landscaping, and landscaping is getting to be expensive. I don't know what all that would include, other than one thing we have never done is never seeded or anything to get the grass to look the way it does. I know Tom is wanting to do some of that to try to make it look nice. There's probably things that we need to spend on the grounds that we haven't. I don't know that that includes the price of a new mower, but we're getting to the point where we're going to probably have to get a new mower sooner or later because he's had starting to have issues with it. That one we've had going on. This will be the fifth year for that particular mower. So, and that mower costs us $12,000. So, yeah. When you think of the property we have to mow here, we got 20 acres. It takes one guy approximately 8 hours to mow, and you know, you could do it in 2 days if you wanted to 4 or 5 hours a day. It's time consuming. We did have Bob Bickett back there. He mowed all diligently, brought his own mower over and mowed it for us and didn't complain or anything and did a good job, an excellent job actually, and it's been nice to keep the grass down, keep it nice back there because the kids use it. It's a good place that we can have good time out there, but it keeps the critters away, the mice. And one of the things that we noticed when we first moved in, the snakes would crawl in and the mice would crawl in, and so there's just a little. They still do. I remember Brian standing over here talking to somebody, and he stomped his foot down, and he's holding a snake under his foot while he's still talking to him, and I don't think they knew that he was holding that snake. So, yeah.
I don't know what else.
I do know. I'm not privy to all those details.
I know the previous year there was a budget of $3,000+ to start on that work, so I'm sure there's a plan for the landscaping that they're trying to accomplish, and I'm not the right person to speak to it, but I know that they're attempting to fund it and get helpers and work it all out, so we're all for it if it can get done.
So you can go through this and see some of the things that we have budgeted for throughout the year. Sometimes things get cut out as we go through the year, depending on how monies go. So it just may vary, but the process of getting to that budget number down there, the 2017 budget at the very bottom, is a pretty good process. Going through all the ministry heads, having them propose what they would like to have for the year, what they think they would need to operate on. It's much like you and I sitting down with our own home budget and going, oh, well, I've got a house payment, I got this and that, I need to make sure I got enough money throughout the year for this. And a little bit more for some of these ministries, they need to figure out what they're going to, like camps and things that they're going to go to, what they might need for that. You know, Randy does the vision conference and those things, and he has to know what he's going to budget for it and what he can spend and what he can't. For the Bible ministry, Bible conference coming, those things, all those things have to be figured in. So that number is kind of what we're looking at and what it takes to operate throughout the year.
And maybe I should already know.
Are you talking about the board?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah. Right. Right. Well, Gwayne's in the hospital, or not in the hospital, but he's doing chemo, so that's why he's not here. He would probably do a lot better job than me, but I'm on the board. Bob Bulkin, Gwayne Arney, Brian Hedges is our president, and Luke Fleshman has just come on as part of the board. He's new. That's the board members. We kind of look at the budget. One way that we do operate is with the pastors, is the pastors, they kind of just determine how we will, what the ministers are, what they need, and then the board says, well, this is how much you get in that aspect. We try to help out with as ministry goes to help pastors and the church operate. So your pastoral team is also involved in a part of that, which is Steve Fleshman, Randy Foster, Tom Fort, myself, Jeremy, Jeff Trude, and then Brian Hedges. So that's the pastoral team that oversees that part of it. We try to, and I think that's kind of new for the last 2 or 3 years, is the pastoral team kind of having a say a little bit on the budget to give direction and maybe a little more spiritual direction on the board as far as what we need to do, and which has been kind of a nice thing, I think, to help out with the board.
Be clear on that, so just so people understand how that works. So previously, to say 5 years ago, I'll stand up before I had the pastoral team formalized. Historically, going back to the beginning, initially hardly there was a difference between your leadership and your board. We were all kind of one. So as we've kind of matured and grown, we're able now to allow the pastors to take the burden of deciphering ministry priority, and so that the board doesn't have to worry about that like they used to, or discern that is a better way of saying it. So you'd have Tracy Sloan sitting there looking through budgets and not having hands-on interaction with many of the different things that we're slashing away at. So what's really been nice the last few years is the pastors have taken that burden. So most of the slashing is going on within our pastoral meetings, and it's painful. And so we get to really dream and then have our dreams dashed and cut the budget. So now we can just hand it. So it's hand it to the board, because the board's job really isn't to sit around and determine, who gets what in ministry, really. So that's become more of the pastor's job. So it's made the board's job a lot easier. So they're back to doing what they should be doing, which is focusing on what's fiscally responsible, because they will cut indiscriminately if need be.
Yeah. So.
Well, we don't use the term trustee. We're, because in the state of Missouri, in our church?
Yes.
No. We don't have trustees.
Okay.
So it's the board. The mm-hmm. board of directors is what, before the state of Missouri.
And how many people?
Now there's Gwayne, we just said him, so myself.
Brian, me, yeah. Bob Bulkin, Gwayne Arney, and Luke Fleshman.
Yeah, so there's an odd number.
Yeah.
And do we have an audit?
Yeah. It's actually not an audit, it's a financial review, and we do it, isn't it, every other year?
Yeah.
Every other year. We've had Keller and Owen do it, but we've ended up spending way too much money. The first time they did it was great, and we were really messed up, so they helped us out, and they had a pastor come do it. It was beautiful. Gave us a book this thick on it, what we needed to do. But we've really got ourselves in order, so now they give us a piece of paper. And so we're looking, actually, if you know anybody, let us know. Kathy will try to vet them, but we're looking for people that can do that at a much more reasonable rate. So we've talked to different CPAs and what have you. But no, we do that every other year, so. And our processes, excuse me.
No,
for
you're
time.
Good.
If you haven't seen our purchase order process, we have I remember when we rolled it out, the board laughed at me. I thought I was over the top. But we have a lot of accountability in purchasing. So purchase orders and all of those things are well looked at, every purchase here. So more than just two signers per check, it's 3 to 4 signatures per purchase order. And so there's no money really. Should be pretty hard. There's always ways, but it should be pretty hard to pull a fast one here. I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm very concerned about those things because I've been in environments where those things have been problematic. And so... Yeah, one of the things that we do too, in addition, you saying that reminds me, another thing we do to help ourselves is Keller and Owen offers annual, I call them scare you courses, seminars, where they just bring in these people to tell you how mean the IRS is and it's going to come and hurt you. And so because of that, we have additional policies that govern our benevolence giving, so that we don't open ourselves up to either IRS or Department of Labor problems. And so for a church our size, we're probably way over what most people are doing. But I figure that I'm very, even though it frustrates me sometimes because, you know, it just really can impede progress. My personal view is we're the church, we should discern where charity goes. But anyway, to make sure that we're blameless and harmless and, you know, we go ahead and take extra measures. All of our benevolence is made in a decision as the board. That way there could be no enormous.
Pastors make the benevolence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Used to be the board, but now the pastors do it. Thank you. And that's almost weekly, if not, you know, at least monthly for sure, we deal with benevolence. Anyway, all of those, the way we deal with all of these processes, which at times seems like overkill, we do it because of some of the things you're talking about and some of the seminars that we've attended and some of the liabilities that we're trying to avoid for the church's sake and for Christ's sake. So you can't be too careful. So I agree with you. And we do try to find ways to keep ourselves educated and wise, you know. Yeah, Kathy brings up a good point. We have separation of duties in the office. So, you know, people, we try not to put her in a position to even be blamed so she can't have access to everything and vice versa.
That's one thing, too, that I'm thankful for him. And, well, all the pastoral team, we can't handle money, and we don't know what anybody's giving. We can't look at those records, which I'm very thankful for. I know when somebody tries to hand me an offering envelope, I go, nope, I can't touch that. There's a box, you put it in the box. And I know maybe some people get frustrated with that, but I'm very thankful for it because it keeps me from being blameless. And we've seen that happen, and I know why it happens or what has happened before. And it's just kind of nice to be protected in that sense. I hate to put that on somebody else, but it's just, Yeah, and so I really am appreciative of that with Brian, the things that we've seen and how he tries to protect his pastoral team and the secretaries and everybody so that we're not accused of any wrongdoing it's hard to do, you know. So, and I know some people get frustrated with me when I just throw up my hands and say, yep, can't have that. So, but Kenley? Sure.
Do you know what the budget balance was for the 2015?
Is that at the bottom of that page on the financial review?
No, that's the expenses. What was the budget?
Oh. Wasn't it close to that?
First page.
Is that on the first page?
Yeah.
Very first page under 2016? Yeah, 449. Yeah, that very first page gives you every year for the last 2010 to 2016.
We did that at one time, and I don't know if it was confusing, but Tracy had a
there any other questions? Been good. No? Ready?
If you look at that number, then we're about budget for the year 2016.
Yeah, roughly, what, 23,000 or so? No, maybe, what am I thinking? 17,000?
Expenses, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kathy, when they've transferred money from savings to help, like, build the building, I think that's going to show up as an expense, if I'm right?
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. So that's partially why that's inflated. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. What looks like total giving can be inflated, too, because there'll be a transfer for a project. In addition to monies passing through for a missionary, we can also transfer money into our checking from our savings to pay for the contractor that's putting up a building. So it looks like that, because as a church, we don't really have an income category. It's just offerings. That's pretty much our, am I being accurate? So we don't have an income column. It's offerings. So it comes in our checking and goes out, and it shows up in our total as a net. It's really a pass-through, you know, to go pay for something. Yeah. It's slip-sliding away. we have enough contingency for to cover our liabilities, and then a little more. And so, huh? Oh, no, I wish we had enough for a year.
A month, maybe.
Our liabilities, meaning we have several liabilities on our balance sheet that we, for missionary emergency, and I can't think of them all off the top of my head, but they're several thousands of dollars. So we keep enough just to cover that in case we just had to expense them all at once. But it's, I don't recall, Kathy, you could probably tell me, is it in the 20,000-ish range or 17,000? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's.
It's a good one.
Yeah. We were wishing it was more.
Well, you think along the lines of the house payment, too. I don't know if you want, but we're ahead by a year, year and a half, almost 2 years.
Well, he made me think of more because at one time it was the parking lot took a big chunk.
Right.
Yeah. So we did some of the capital improvements that you've seen have gone out of that because we didn't have them any other way. So.
And that was $107,000, if you remember.
Yeah.
If you remember, so.
Right. So that's where it's probably what you're remembering. We did have a huge chunk of change there at one time. Not anymore. So it's even more important that we're fiscally responsible. And what is Jim didn't mention just a small thing, but it is important. We've started this budget cycle getting real serious about let me rephrase that. Real serious is more money. So we're semi-serious about what do we call that where you're putting it back?
Our capital replacement.
Fund. We've really are serious about that. So, am I right, Kathy? You're writing a check in essence to this, or transferring money to the savings. So we're actively now pumping money towards savings just for capital. I think I misstated. We're not really getting serious, but we're attempting to do something. If we were getting serious, I'd like to see us putting $5,000 a month away, but that's not going to happen. So
that would probably go to like what you're saying, like a new mower, or if we need new chairs, carpet, whatever we have to go to.
Yeah. So
that's part of that, isn't it? Setting that money aside for those things.
Mm-hmm. And that's, yeah, we've got a, I mean, we're, no, it's not going right now because there's no need for it to go. We haven't gotten there. That's a good point, though. If we if we were going to, even with the recent attrition we've had, our numbers are actually not down in attendance, but the issue of the building on and getting everybody back in one room and all of that, it's really not necessarily about growing numbers in that regard, but numbers are important because people are important. But the reality is that we'll just have to trust God with that. If we the building could be paid off, we owe $428,000 on the building right now, and so if we liquidated that, we could build on. And so it's pay off the building or get in debt more. We're not going to get in debt. And so I'm glad the good thing about you bringing that up, the board's perspective is that we need to pay down debt. We don't need to get into debt at this point. So I'm ready to get that burden of our house payment off our back. So I'd like to see that gone. And then we could talk about any other improvements from there. And so that's where I would not want to take on a building expansion right now with $400,000 of debt hanging over our head. So I'd like to see us clear that, which actually we could do in short order if we were still pumping 7,000. Look out, Jesus is coming. So if we were still pumping the...
Huh?
Oh, darn. Yeah, speaking of capital replacements.
I was talking to Tom about that with the parking lot. A lot of people are going to the LEDs. He has replaced the outside lights with LEDs and looking at the parking lot to replace it, which right now we replace bulbs every year in the parking lot. And I think there's 12, if I remember right, or 12 or 14 bulbs. And they were $40 a piece. To do all the parking lot and convert it to LEDs is $6,000, or at least, I think, is what he was telling me. So just some things that we need to look at down the road as far as changes.
You wouldn't have to do it every year.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to change LEDs for every year. They would last for quite some time. So just things that we do look at. I mean, I know Barb was asking about some of the things that we look at, those things, those expenses. Right now we can't shove $6,000-$7,000 at parking light bulbs or having it converted, but that is an expense that maybe down the road we'll have to do. It does save on our electric bill and things like that. Any other questions, you guys? With that, I'll let Brian. I don't know. You got time left for you?
Oh yeah. No, that's fine. We this has gone a little longer than I anticipated, which is okay. That's good. I hope you guys are informed. We'll get into the word here for a bit, but I'll try to keep it brief. This is normally our prayer night. If you don't normally come, we would take the prayer pieces, which I don't have. Can you check, Amy? Actually, I have Sam. Sam, go check my box and see if those prayer pieces are in there. We normally take our prayer time tonight, and we break down and pray. I'm not going to do that tonight, but I'll, Jared, you balanced me out. I could have stayed right where I was at. So he brought balance to the room. So praise the Lord. But I just want to I will pick up, and I'll just touch on where we were this morning and finish this up with y'all, and I do hope this was informative. I just want you to know, Tracy's done a great job over the last 15 years. Gwen Arnie's doing an awesome job. And so if you have any questions about any of that, the finance or anything, feel free to get with Gwen, and he'll be happy to talk with you. And if you want to, one of the things, our accounting system is very sophisticated for a church our size, but it's important that we did that for a reason, because we trusted that the Lord was going to grow the ministry, and it's ended up being really a good decision because we have Shiloh, we have a couple different ministries that we're operating through our financial accounting system. So God's done a good job of preparing us to be a church that can really accomplish the mission of God and the power of God in every way. And so a little church out here in the country is clearinghouse for a mega church up in Lee Summit because we're set up to do it. And so I just think that's cool because the things that we're doing are all about the kingdom of God. And so in some ways that does include obviously the funding. But as you know, I do not like to focus on the nickels and stuff like that, because of, like I was sharing with you this morning, my own testimony regarding that. But it's a fact. And, you know, what I was sharing this morning, that cynicism that I had, could have been well-founded, because in the church that I was attending, where I grew to give, it was the very place that later on one of our pastors was fired for robbing out of the plate. So that's why I'm pretty serious about making sure we have all the accountability that we do have, and we do things above board, we do things decent in order, because I don't want to be a blemish on the name of Christ. And even if you don't make a mistake, the devil wants to make you out to make a mistake so you look bad. But I really don't. I just want to be in a position where there's nobody that can blame us, so to speak. And so I think we're in a pretty good position. So if you have your Bibles, let's just quickly, I'll kind of rehearse where we were and we'll move along. So this morning we talked about investing with a willing heart, and I hope that was a blessing to you. And tonight I want to talk about investing wisely. And it's important, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 16. And we'll start there, 1 Corinthians 16, and we'll start in verse 1. And after we get there, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, we'll read verses 1 through 4 and have a word of prayer. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to all the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring you your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they also go with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this update that Jim has given us. Lord, we thank you for your church, Lord, and just the generous donations that come, Lord, from you, Lord, to your people. And Lord, it's a great ministry, Lord, to see the missions and the ministry that takes place day in, day out, 7 days a week in this building. It's well used, Lord, and you're changing lives in so many places, and life issues, and in volleyball ministries, and Iron Forge, and Invest Bible studies, and discipleship one-on-one. And Lord, I could just go on and on talking about that real work of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God, and I just praise you for that. I pray tonight, as we look at this, that we'd be encouraged in the Word, and we'd be ready to go tonight, and Lord, be refreshed for tomorrow. I just thank you for all of these things, and we cast our care upon you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, one of the things that's important, if we're going to be wise investors, is to give consistently. And that's one of the things that Paul was teaching the Corinthians here in 1 Corinthians 16. He wanted them to be ready for this collection, and he didn't want to have to wait when he got there to take up a special collection. He's like, hey, guys, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so you do. And then he tells them on the first day of the week. First day of the week, why? Because that's resurrection, right? Sunday. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. So the Sabbath is actually still Saturday. The church meets on the first day of the week because that's when Jesus resurrected. So that's why we take up our offerings on the first day of the week as well. So we're still, isn't that kind of cool? We're doing something today that the church was doing in the first century. That's kind of cool to think about. And so some of these things that we do are, well, that's been going on since Jesus resurrected. So Paul states that after his comments in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, just a chapter back, he tells the church, he says, let all things be done decently in order. And he deals with all this doctrine, starting from the heresies and the sects that were in chapter 1, you know, the divisions that were in the church. He rolls through all the different crazy doctrines. He gets to chapter 15 then. He says, let's do things decently in order. And that's so cool about this. You know what he does? He puts the perspective completely on eternity. He says, now let's talk about the resurrection and how that's going to be ordered. I never actually thought about that until I was preparing this message. I thought, that is so cool. Paul was so heavenly minded. You know, he's got all this stuff he's dealing with down here, and he's like, now let's talk about order. Someday you're going to hear the trumpet, and you're going to go out. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You know, I mean, it's just awesome to think about. And so then, you know, after all of that glory, you know, you're dealing with the rapture mysteries laid out in here and all of that, and the resurrection. And then you get to chapter 16, and he's talking about just miscellaneous sundry things. But this is also, until Jesus returns, what should we be doing? Well, we should be investing wisely. That's what we should be doing. Let all things be done decently and in order. Remember when we talked about giving willingly this morning? I was asking you to consider putting Jesus first, right? That's what we're talking about. That's the issue, is putting things in order and making him the priority. And so it's a pretty cool thing that God has done there. This pulpit is not as big as the one up top there. I can tell you that right now. And so anyway, so now notice they assembled on the first day of the week, as I've mentioned, and that's going to continue until Jesus returns for us. And so likewise, we set aside the first fruits of our increase weekly, right, on the first day of the week. You know, God's pretty smart. So God says, hey, Paul, tell them to do this on the first day of the week, because I know they'll spend it if they get past their check, man. They got to get it while it's good. No, I'm just kidding, kind of. But there's a biblical pattern. Sorry, Ray, I'm going to cough. Doing this. Anyway, so there's a pattern of first fruits there. And so practically speaking, and this is really practical, folks need to take and order their life so they can give back to the Lord. We're not under the law, but we ought to set it as our first priority. And you know, there's been a time or two I have forsaken that, and it grieves me. And so when I mean, I'm just telling you how I do things. When I got two checks that I have to write. Excuse me. And I got some water over here. With all this electronic banking, two checks I got to write. And the first one is the one to the church. The other one is for insurance. But anyway, the reality is that I'm glad I have to write the checks. When I was first saved, you know how I did the offering? I got my wallet out. I got my check, actually my envelope, you know, and I got my cash out. And there was just something about, you know, taking that money out and going, I got to give this and this and you know, and so that's how I used to do it. Now, I told you this morning I had giving grace. Once I dropped it in that coffee can, it did kind of flow. And so what ended up happening is I decided, you know, I'm going to take my check every time I get it. Because I'm that old. I used to actually get paid and cash your check and use cash. But I personally, even after I got past that, you know, and the automatic deposit, all that stuff, I'm like, Amy, make sure we got cash for the offering. And so for years, I can tell you when I quit, until 1996. So it was about 9 years. I got saved in 87, so it was almost a decade. For 9 years, I counted out my cash. And I did that. I'm not saying you got to do that. It was just part of me doing things in order. Because I like to see and I like to feel my heart when all of a sudden I could sense that covetousness coming over. And there'd be a time, once maybe. No. Every once in a while, I could feel the covetousness of my heart. And it was like, man, Lord, I'm getting covetous. And it would help me. Because for some reason, if I'm not counting it out, it's easier to write a check, or it's even easier online, man. It's just numbers, it's gone. But man, something about those greenbacks just really, it was like God just used that in my life to challenge my own heart. And so it was all just about an exercise in my own heart. And so, and of course, if the money was flowing freely like it did in the 90s, it's easier to just flop it out, throw it in the thing, and move along. But it's when the money was tighter that was a little harder. And so it forced me to put my own life in order and evaluate my own priorities. Unfortunately, because of some of the other things I mentioned about people stealing from the offering plate, I went to check writing after that because it's harder to steal a check than it is cash. But that's a shame. But it doesn't matter how you give. That's not my point of bringing that up. The matter is that people actually exercise the liberty to give and the grace to give back to the Lord. And they make it the priority, and they do it in order. And that's what Paul was setting a pattern in that carnal church at Corinth. He's like, hey guys, set that stuff aside on the first day of the week. Make that a priority. Make that the first thing you do. And we should do that as well. We should also give proportionally. And look over at 2 Corinthians 8. We already looked at this, so I won't tarry. And I know we got to go. 2 Corinthians 8, 11 through 13. So this is that Macedonian church. We already saw how awesome they were, right? They were giving out of their debt. I mean, they were poor, and yet God blessed them supernaturally to give to the church in Jerusalem. Now, go down to verse 11. It says, Now therefore, perform the doing of it. That is, there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be a first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. So Paul's being careful here with the church at Corinth. He's used this example of the Macedonians, but he's careful to say to them, I'm not telling you, you guys got to give like the Macedonians, because you're spiritually not there yet. No, he didn't say that, but that's kind of, he's being careful with them to say, look, give proportionally. The folks in Corinth were rich, especially compared to Macedonia. And so he really wasn't saying give like the Macedonians. He's just saying, hey, just give. You've already made a commitment. That's the backstory too. They'd already made that commitment. He's like, just fulfill your commitment. And just give proportionally as God has blessed you. And so we need to do that. God doesn't want us running up our credit card to pay for missionaries, but he could be calling us to forgo something else to invest in eternity. And that's not my decision to make for you as your pastor. That's really a walk that you have with the Lord, what you're willing to put your priorities in. And so all I would tell you to do is what Paul said, and that's do what's proportionate. Now, that's where it's nice that we're not under the law. Because, and I'm going to get to this right now, God doesn't want us running up our credit card, but he doesn't want our leftovers either, right? Because he's worthy of the first fruits. So if you wait to see what's left over, you know there's never going to be enough. So under the law, there was tithing, which is a good pattern. And if you've been through our discipleship lessons, we use tithe. The word tithe actually means a tenth. So technically, Heartland doesn't tithe 11% because that's not a tithe. So whatever, an 11% to missions. Actually, we give 13% to missions is totally out of our budget. But we probably should grow that. But the point being is that, you know, ultimately, that's just a benchmark. The word tithe means a tenth, and the first time you see it is in Genesis, right, with Abraham honoring Melchizedek. And he shows up, and he just kicks everybody's rear, runs off this Confederate army. It's one of my favorite stories. And this guy's just a sheep herder. You don't even hear, nobody talks about Abraham being a warrior. And yet, he just ran off a Confederate army that had the Sodomites pinned down. And he gets his trained men out of his house, a bunch of sheep herders, and they just go kill everybody, run them off. And then anyway, he comes back and they want a blessing. The king of Sodom is like, hey, let me bless you. And he's like, no thanks, pal. And all he did is give his tithes to Melchizedek, took enough from the booty there to help his men, cover their expenses, and he went back home. And so what a great story that is. That's the first place you see tithing. But the problem is, for some folk, is that's not the law of Moses yet. So tithing existed before the law of Moses, because Moses hadn't been thought of yet. Well, in God's mind, he had, but obviously Moses hadn't come around yet. So tithing actually existed before the law, and it is a good pattern. But if you can't do that, do something. And so, and by the way, the good thing is if you're in the New Testament, you're not limited to a tithe. So you can live on 10% and give 90. That's okay. That's all right. God bless you. Just be proportionate, right? So Moses gave the law, and the tithe was instituted. Now, once that happened, what was the tithe for? Well, it was actually a tithe initially. 10% of your crops, your livestock was an annual. Leviticus 27:30 was an annual gift, but it really wasn't a gift, right? It was ordered. You got to give this. Just like, well, let me put, it's your, if you have to pay taxes this year, is it a gift? You don't feel like a gift, do you? Right? It might be different if it's not the IRS calling on it and it's, you know, God. Okay, well then, all right. But it, in essence, it was an ordinance. It is what you had to do under the law. And of course, like I said earlier this morning, if they didn't do it, well, God, he had ways of saying, hey, let's go to the woodshed. Just like my discipler. God taught him the hard way. So this provided regular income for the Levites in the tabernacle in the temple, Numbers 18:21. So that's what it was for. And then, of course, they in turn tithe. And then it also provided means for special feasts held in Jerusalem. And they would bring money in Deuteronomy 14:26. We're not going to look all that up. And in addition, there was a tithe required every third year. Some people don't know that. So then that's at least 13% of your annual first fruits are going toward actually ordained giving. So now you're above a tithe. And then there would be some that would say that the actual overall giving, when you put in personal sacrifices, is going to be somewhere around 23%. You know what? It's better under the law of Moses than the IRS, because you're probably, all of you are at 25% or more. So when you count state and local. But anyway, so that was all taxing. That's all. That's kind of how it went. So you may be saying, Brian, well, why did you say all that to me? So I'll start tithing? No, I just want you to know that it's because you're not bound to 10 or 23%. You can get hilarious, right? You can get crazy. That guy up there, that picture, George Mueller, he says, money is really worth no more than it can be used to accomplish the Lord's work. Life is worth as much as is spent for the Lord's service. Now that guy, he was hilarious. He was hilarious. He walked by faith. He lived on 10% and gave 90 back to the Lord. There's stories this guy would be without. He had orphanages. He's like, I don't know what we're going to do tonight. And he'd pray, and then somebody's knocking on the door, bringing what they needed. I mean, it's crazy. This guy, in his lifetime, he cared for 10,024 orphans and established 117 schools. He's an example of the believers in word and deed. Why could George do that? Because he wasn't under the law. He was free to give with grace. He was free to give hilarious. Man, he could go over 10%. He'd go over 20%. He just kept going because God already had his heart. He had a willing heart, and he had a wise heart. You think George did that just because he's a great guy? Yeah, he did because he's a great guy, but he also believes God, and he believes that God would bless him. And then the last thing, I would encourage you to give honorably. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, let's turn back there. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. So we're investing wisely, but we need to give honorably. And this is probably the thing that really, in today's world, probably affects us as much as anything. I'm going to get there. Normally, I beat everybody there we go. All right. Maybe if I knew I was just said go to Matthew, then I could have backed up. I'd have been a lot better off. All right. So Malachi chapter 3. This may be familiar probably to this group. You guys know this. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. A little backstory. Israel is in a situation here where they need to obey the Lord. In verse 10. The Lord says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. And that this is actually going to happen in the millennium with the nation of Israel. But we need to be sure that we give honorably. And in the New Testament, we're individually considered sons of God. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was considered a son of God in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 22. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, the scripture calls us sons of God. And the nation of Israel, they had some fiscal problems because, well, they didn't honor the Lord. Now, I don't know if you know about Jews, and this is not trying to be racist, but God has blessed them with an ability to handle money and finance because of this passage right here. When it gets to the millennium, God's going to use them to steward the kingdom on this world in the millennium after the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's also what Hitler used against them, in part, to try to run them out of Europe. And so the nation of Israel, they had these fiscal problems, well, ultimately because they didn't honor the Lord. And during the time of Nehemiah, investing in the house of God was no longer vogue because they didn't prioritize their investments in God's house. God allowed them to struggle financially. And so Haggai chapter 1 records this. If you go back a few books to Haggai chapter 1, let's just look at this together. Haggai chapter 1, I don't know, if you're using my Bible, it's page 1141. That may not help you, though. Chapter 1 and verse 3, the text says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and in this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So God asks us to consider our ways when there's holes in the pockets. Now Malachi 3, where we were a minute ago, God called Israel. You know what he called them? He said, "You're robbers." When they forsook the house of God. Will a man rob God? God says, "You robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee?" Well, tithes and offerings. "You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation." Whew, that's heavy stuff. I hope none of us would be robbing God. What are we robbing God of? Does he need our money? No, he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need anything. But he would really appreciate us to honor him. And that's a way that we can honor him. And that's a grace that God gives us in a way to honor him. And that's why, getting back to this meeting tonight, that's why it is important that we do things decently in order. We do things so that there's accountability. Because when folks give a church, they ought to feel like they can trust the church because they're trusting that God's work's getting done. Having said that, it's really not our money. It's not my money either, by the way. That's the Lord's money, no matter where it comes from. And I'm just somewhere like you all. I'm just managing it. I will give an account, though. And so it is important, though, that I just want to help people have an opportunity to have that grace of giving so that they can honor the Lord. Because I could understand, coming from my own background, how cynical I used to be, how it could be a hindrance. The church itself could be a hindrance to people wanting to give to God. And that's sad. You know what that really says? The folks don't believe that the man in the pulpit, nor the congregation, or in the organization, which is it's a supernatural body, really represents the Lord. Now, they may or may not be the best judge of character, and it may not be their place to be the judge and jury, especially if they're lost and dying and going to hell. So it's important, though, that we do everything that we can to be honorable ourselves, because we represent an honorable God. And so that's why we have this meeting. That's why we have processes. And it's important individually, too, that we honor the Lord with the first fruits of our increase. He doesn't need our money, but he sure does appreciate when we honor him. Does he need our praise? No. But think about that. He'll accept it. What a privilege to be able to praise the God of heaven. Right? There's people, even in this room, you'd flip over backwards if your favorite celebrity or whoever was willing to have your audience. You'd be like, "Oh, I got a tweet the other day from somebody. I quoted somebody," and they're like all excited. They were like, I actually met that singer. They got pictures and it was funny. And I was a little funny. It was like, yeah, and I know Jesus Christ, you know? And so it was just funny because we get to really bless him. And it's really our blessing. So anyway, and I need to finish up here. So we talked about Luke 16 this morning and that situation. It was too late for the rich man. He was long gone before he realized what he had been missing all along, which was honoring God. It was too late for him to realize the importance of investing in the Word of God and the souls of men once he woke up in hell. And there are men in hell today who would encourage us to do our part to invest in eternity in every way, because if we don't take heed to the Word of God, they won't believe the one rises from the dead. So some Christians don't realize their job is simply a funding mechanism for their ministry. What I mean by that is your vocation. And when I figured that out, it just changed everything. When I went to work, this is before I was a pastor, and I realized I'm doing this job so that I can fund my ministry. The ministry at Heartland, at that time KCBT, the ministry outside of that where Amy and I would be doing things, we did a lot on our own dime and didn't even think twice about it, didn't even worry about writing it off. Why? Because it's the Lord's, man. He gave it to us and we gave it back. And that's just the attitude that we need to have. Now, it's proportional. In those days, I didn't have children. I had a nice job, and I could do those things. I understand when, there's different seasons of life, so we shouldn't compare ourselves with ourselves. But no matter what, we need to be in a position where we can take advantage of the opportunities to honor God. And that rich man, I'm sure he had lots of reasons where he couldn't invest. But ultimately, the biggest reasons he should have invested were the ones he thought of when he woke up in hell. And that was his family. And so, there's good news. If you're still breathing, you can fog a mirror. God can restore what the locusts have eaten spiritually. And I mentioned that this morning. In that same passage in Malachi chapter 3, the Lord tells the nation of Israel that. And he says, "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouses, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now." We read that passage. Right? He says, "I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, pour out the blessings. There's going to be room enough to receive it. I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall the vine cast her fruit before a time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all the nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, you know what he says in Joel chapter 2? He says, "I'll restore to you the years of the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he that dwelleth wondrously with you and my people shall never be ashamed." So God's able to restore that which has been eaten. He's able to bring back that dishonor, right? And sometimes we've lived a life that's dishonorable and we haven't really given to the Lord as we ought. And so we need to consider that. My time's up, so I'm just going to give you my last point real quickly. The last one is to invest faithfully. And 1 Corinthians 4, the scripture says, "Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. He that's faithful in that which is least is faithful in much," Luke chapter 16 says. And so there's an outline in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And 9, or actually 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, those giving chapters. There's an outline in chapter 9 that I would just encourage you to think about when it comes to faithful giving. And I don't want to be Joel Osteen here, but when you give faithfully in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'll just run this down real quick. I feel the clock. The buzzer has went off in my head. Time to stop. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the scripture says in verse 8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that while you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound into every good work. And before we go there, let me just back up. This is, Paul again is talking about those Macedonians. He can't get over the hilarious giving in chapter 9 and verse 2. And in verse 4, he's talking about the Macedonians as well. And then he's encouraging them to obey. And in verse 6, he says, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You know, we're going to reap what we sow. But we have this promise here in verse 8 that if we do so, God's going to give us everything that we need. He's faithful. He's a faithful investor. And faithful investment in eternity will cause God's grace to abound in our lives, ensuring that we have all sufficiency in all things and we abound into every good work. So there's no fear. I mean, some of the biggest reasons folks don't give and don't invest faithfully is they're scared. Fear keeps them from faith, which just happens all the time in so many people's lives. And so it's important that we're not focused in fear. Secondly, in verses 8 and 11, the text says, if you go on down to verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, faithful investment in eternity will produce more bounty. It'll continue to give back. In those same verses, faithful investment in eternity will cause us to give enough to take on more investments. So it's true here at HBF as well. As God blesses us with more, what do? We take on more missionaries. We have more approved missionaries, more supported missionaries. We can take on approved missionaries all day long, but what we really want to do is turn them into supported missionaries. So as God blesses us, what do? We have a plan to be a blessing. Now think about that in your personal life. Excuse me, do you have a plan? Lord, if you bless us with more income, I want an SUV. Okay. Lord, if you bless us with more income, I want to support missions more. I want us to take on an extra missionary. Lord, I want to honor you by supporting Doug Pearson or taking on an orphanage or whatever. And whatever God lays on your heart, where a treasure is, there is our heart also. And so faithful investment also causes us to have an attitude of gratitude to multiply. In verse 12, it says, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want for the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So this is when you see women like Hannah show up and give her child. And you're like, whoa. I mean, this abundant giving, this faithful investment that causes this attitude of gratitude to be so big that the gift is just incredible. In verse 12, that's what he's talking about. He's the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. This is a big old blessing. And so faithful investment in eternity sets godly examples as well. In verse 13, while the experiment, I like that word experiment, of this ministration, this giving, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And so Paul's telling them, the folks are taking note back in Macedonia of your gracious gifts. And your investment sets a godly example for them. And I like that word experiment because that word experiment is similar to that word experience, right? Have you ever experienced that? I've been convicted. I actually feel like this oftentimes. You got Pradeep Lima sending back notes and messages and videos talking about Pastor Brian and Heartland Baptist and how great we are. And I'm like, dude, I feel like I'm in Corinth and you're over here in Macedonia, pal. I mean, you're the people that we need to be praising the Lord for. We haven't done anything. We give out of our surplus, not our sacrifice. Every day for them is a sacrifice. So it's very convicting. Now, God tells us to give proportionally. We don't have to have a guilt trip over that. But it does challenge you, right, to consider God's blessed us with this, so how can we utilize it, right? Let's stay on track so we don't skip a beat and we utilize it for the Lord. Now, faithful investment in eternity, number six there, supplies grace that returns through prayers of the saints because they can see the exceeding grace of God in you. In verse 14, it says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. And so I love the way Paul is showing the Corinthians, how the saints see the Corinthians after he just went through all these chapters. And, you have to read the book of 2 Corinthians. But I'm not sure they had near as much grace as the people praying for him. But at any rate, Paul was just blessing them because these people were praying for their goodness. And and he was, their prayers of the saints were very effectual. And then the last one, which is most important, is verse 15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I mean, at the end of the day, how do you give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift? There's never enough. And that's part of the giving grace also. God's not asking you to give till you can't function, right? Take, like the Catholic Church, you got to go take a vow of poverty. He's a good father. What's a good father do? He takes care of his kids. God's going to take care of us. He just wants us to honor him. And my last point, and I'm just going to be done for quickness sake, Philippians 4, but the faithful investment attorney fills our account. And I'm just going to read this passage, and you can throw up all of it there, Ray, because I'm not going to tarry on it. This is what Paul said. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor, a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Philippians 4, 17 through 20. The Apostle Paul, what he found out is that God wants fruit to abound to our account. He wants, it's better than the FDIC. It makes sure to fill up our account in verse 19. And so the text says that he shall supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And the reality is, he has already done it. I do not have time to tell you practically, just in my own life, but also the life of this church, how God has done so many things. I was just thinking about the, you know, we spent all the money to get the building up. Everything's drained out of the account. Catherine probably remembers that. We had to take a $20,000 loan to pay the contractor. Excuse me. The last installment on the building construction. And then we had whatever came in the offering. We were back to zero. And I was sitting there in my office, you know, looking out the window at the gravel parking lot. Thinking, Lord, I made a mistake. You know, the rooms are too big for the children's ministry. Maybe we should have went smaller. Are we $20,000 over? You know, and I'm sitting there, and a friend of mine from the temple calls me up. Says, "Hey, Brian, I got $20,000. I want to give it to your church for children's ministry." I said, "Hey, friend," I haven't said his name, have I? I don't want to say his name. I said, "Bro, I'd love to put that toward children's ministry, but right now, can we just have $20,000? He says, "Sure." I didn't call him. He called me. And that next week, there's a check for $20,000. I mean, she probably thought I was in the mafia or something. I mean, just like, bam, the 20 grand, here it comes. It was amazing. Exactly what we just took a loan out on. And it was just God saying, "You're okay, son. I just need you to drain things out every once in a while to make sure you trust me." And, of course, like Jim said, there's a few times after that, boom, God just blesses us. It's crazy how he does that. But God's good with this. Yesterday I had a, I'm grossing y'all out up here, I know. Yesterday I got this post from Brian Clark, so I just wanted to put it up. This is his daily reading out of Mark. And the passage there says, "There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head, and there were some that had indignation and said, 'Why was this waste of ointment made?'" And I love Brian's comment. "This is my only hope, my only ambition, that I could waste my life on Jesus Christ." Amen. That is an awesome statement, man. I saw that and I thought, wow, he just preached the whole message, didn't he? That's a good way to close this out. I hope you guys are encouraged in the Lord. I know you guys are all faithful folks. That's why you're here on a Sunday night. And I appreciate you. Thank you for listening to me, putting up with me. Did you get the prayer pieces? Did Sam get those? They're not any. We've had a lot of illness, not just myself in the office, so probably that's okay. Probably didn't get done this week, which is fine. I wasn't going to actually break down in prayer tonight because of the length of the time we've had. So I do pray that if you guys, you or someone you know, need some encouragement in actually going further into stewardship, we're going to talk about that this coming Wednesday night. We're going to do that for the next several weeks, about 3 weeks, and then we'll be moving on to other topics. But I appreciate your investment tonight. If you do have any questions, see Gwen Arney's not going to be available. So it'd probably be best to see Luke Fleshman. Luke Fleshman is going to be our, or you could talk to Jim, but really Luke is going to be our treasurer backup while, we're dealing with all the things that Gwen's got to go through the next several months. So, and you can also talk to Kathy if you got any questions. If you guys, your Shelby app also shows you your giving and all that stuff, so you can always look at that as well. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for